First of all, let me say this to you. I guess this is third of all. It's 20 minutes till 12, give or take. I will be done by 12:30, no matter what. So if you've got some place to go, you have my word in the Lord that at 12:30 I'm going to say amen. Or before that.
Amen.
Amen. Now, wait a minute. But Cindy has to stay after class. Heckling is welcome. Just remember, I can give back. The Lord has led the leadership in this congregation to begin to develop some characteristics of a godly man. And he gave us a pattern whereby we would have a men's meeting once a month and invite the men, and we would open that subject matter to them, and then we would spend the rest of the month developing it. And you might think you got off because it's Mother's Day, but you didn't. Because as I prayed about it, John was going out of town, and we were trying to figure out who should speak. And it came to me, and I said, the Lord gave me a word because it's Mother's Day, and the best thing that I can think of that anybody could do for their mom or their wife, who is the other significant mother in your life, two mothers, right? The one that gave birth to you and the one that gave birth to your children. And those two moms are the most significant moms that you'll ever have that are. And I said, Lord, what kind of gift could we give to mom? And he said, walk with me and mom will be happy. Walk with the Lord and mom will be happy. You have the ability to grieve your mom. How many of you have grieved your mom? The rest of you are lying. That's it. You broke your mom's heart. And if you're married, you grieved your wife's heart too. She said things like, don't do that. The kids are watching. Not that kind of stuff. The other kind of stuff. We had a Christian school a long time ago at a church I was one of the pastors at. And it was an accelerated Christian education school, ACE. And the head of ACE's name was Dr. Howard. And he said some really profound things. But this one has been with me all my life. And I would share to you that you teach a little bit by what you say, more by what you do, but mostly by who you are. And the things that your wife, that your mom doesn't want you to do are things that show from your life, not just from the words that you say, not just from the deeds that you do, but by who you are. Who you are. So this is a discipleship message because we have to take care of our women. That's what we're called to do. Adam was charged in the garden to take care of the garden, and he blew it. We can blame Eve all we want, and we usually do. But it was Adam that God called and said, where are you? Now, this isn't just a men's message, because we're all called to be disciples of Christ. How many of you were called to be a convert? How many of you read the scripture, go forth and be converted? What is that like, from AC to DC? You get a converter? No, you're not called to be converted. You're called to be a disciple. So we're going to talk about discipleship. I'm going to have 4 points. And we're going to start with number one, which will be found in Exodus, the 21st chapter. Turn there if you can. I keep turning to Leviticus. Okay, anybody know what's in Exodus 20? You probably have it on your lawn. It's the Ten Commandments. Really important. Everybody's got it on their lawn or it's on their wall. Nobody's really trying to do it, but we got it there. We can look at it. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, you've seen my Ten Commandments. They're golden plated. It's very nice. Yes, you have nice commandments there. Okay. In chapter 21, immediately following the Ten Commandments, God speaks about an interesting thing. Now, these are the ordinances which you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, but on the seventh he shall go out as a free man without payment. If he comes alone, he shall go out alone. If he's a husband of a wife, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall belong to her master, and he shall go out by himself alone. But if the slave plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out as a free man. Then his master shall bring him to God. Then he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him permanently. Turn to John 8, please. Because of my promise, I'm not waiting for you if I get there. And I don't hear anybody rustling pages, by the way. Thank you. I know you're not really looking, but you're rustling pages. It makes me feel good. Shh, don't rip it. Isn't that the Bible your mom gave you? John 8, picking up in verse 34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin, and the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Okay, so I'm putting these two scriptures together. I can do that. It's legitimate. So you're born again. Some of you may not be born again here. I don't know. I can't tell looking at you. You all look about the same, funny looking. Not like me. I can't tell. I mean, some of you I know pretty well, and based on who you really are, I've got a pretty good handle on whether you're born again or not. But I don't know. There are people that have said half a dozen magic words, Jesus, forgive me for my sins, I believe, amen, and they're going to go to heaven. And there are a lot of people that have lived what looks like a Christian life, but they really don't trust in God, and they really haven't been changed in their heart, and they're not going to go. And I can't tell the difference. But I do know that God never called you to be a convert. He called you to be a disciple. Converts are people who just change their mind. Disciples are people who change their life. And I guess it's possible to ask Jesus into your heart and then live your life however the hell you want. I suppose that's possible. But it's not God's plan. He didn't plan or intend that for you. You were bought with a price. And he always had an intention for you that you would be his. So here's the bond slave. The bond slave is set free from sin. That's what Jesus says in John 8. Set free from sin. You're a free person. God created you and gave you free will, right? You can choose the tree of life, or you can choose the tree of knowledge. And now you're born again. And guess what? You can still choose the tree of life or the tree of knowledge. It's still your decision. So you're still the same free moral agent, but you've been bought with a price. So here's a free moral agent. Set free. Hallelujah, I'm free. See you later. I'll see you at the end. And then I'm going to pull out my Jesus card. It says right here, born again. It's been written in, that white stuff you put on your shoes, ladies? You know, the little white stuff? It comes off in the water, right? Is that how you're going to get into heaven? With your whitewashed badge? You could probably get in that way, but I'm not counting on that. I think that's a mighty dangerous way. I was set free from my sin, and I decided that I didn't want to be free. I wanted to go back into his house. And I turned back, and from day one, I don't know where you were converted. Converted, did you hear that? I don't know where you were born again. Joy and I were born again on a motorcycle stopped at a traffic light. We didn't even say the magic words for a few days. I didn't know the magic. I'm a Jewish kid. I didn't know any magic words. What was I supposed to do? I just looked at the light and said, wow, God, what I just saw is real. This is true. I want it. And in my heart of hearts, I believed God, just like Father Abraham believed God. and I was changed. I was born again. But what remained was for me to make a decision. Did I want to live using my free will for myself, or was I going to go forward and serve God? So one of the things that I think would be the saddest for anyone would be for you to live your Christian life for 10, 20, 30 years and die and go to heaven about as shallow as you were. I'd say that'd be a waste. Because God has a plan for you. It's a good plan. It's a good plan. We're starting a new study in the STIR class. We're reading Psalm 119, and we're going to go through that over about 5 weeks. And today we were talking about some of the words that are used. Does anybody know what the law means? What's the law? Anybody who wasn't in my class? Okay, so you're riding on your brand new motorcycle, and it says 55. You broke the law. Is that what that means? That's not what the Hebrew means. The Hebrew there means instructions or directions. So when we talk about Torah, we're talking about God's direction or instruction for you. Who do you think has a better idea for your life? You or him? He has a better idea. He's got a plan. He's the man with the plan. So the first thing that a disciple has to be is he has to become a bond slave. A bond slave is someone who's set free and then decided they didn't really want to be free. They wanted to stay in Father's house. I made that decision. I hope you have too. Whenever I slip, my wife just hits me. Back. Thanks, hon. Mom. Most of the New Testament writers identify themselves as a bond slave. We have Paul, Timothy, James, Peter, Jude, John. And Paul says that Jesus was a bond slave too. So if it's good enough for him, it ought to be good enough for you. You want to walk with the Lord? You want to be discipled? You want to go deeper? Be a bond servant, one who freely chooses to follow after. You might get into heaven the other way. Let me know how it works out. Too risky for me. Turn to Ephesians 4. I don't know. Everybody tells me how good I do, but it gets awful quiet when I speak lately. I'm not a scaring you, am I? I got dressed up for you, moms. Look! But wait, I'm still wearing my motorcycle boots. Just can't take it all away from me. Lord, forgive me. Okay, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. The second thing that God wants of a disciple is he wants you to know, if you're going to become a disciple, that God has placed governmental people in the kingdom to help you. You're not here on your own, and you're not going to make it very far on your own because you have an enemy. Well, you got two enemies. You got the devil, who's really overrated, and you have you, who is double-minded and still kind of likes the stuff that you used to do. My biggest enemy is not the devil. The devil gets involved after I decide that I'm going to do the right thing. So the decision's already made when he tries to give me a hard time. If I'm not doing well, he doesn't really mess with me. Okay? Because he doesn't really care about me. I'm not of interest to him. But when I'm walking on with the Lord, that's different. So those two enemies, I need help. I need help in dealing with those things. I can't count on my conscience because I know how to make my conscience happy. How many of you have repented while you were sinning? Oh, Lord, forgive me for what I'm doing. I know it's true. We need each other. We need help. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You have grace that was given you. I'm not talking about the I sinned, I'm sorry, you're forgiven grace. I'm talking about a gracious gift that was bestowed upon you, or combination of gifts. Now look, I'm pretty good at talking, but my mom said I was always pretty good at talking. And I've gotten better at public speaking because I've practiced and because I've paid attention, not generally to preachers, usually to comedians. And I've learned different ways to speak. That's one of my grandchildren, pay no attention. He's going to be a public speaker. He knows where he's going. Quiet it down. He's going to plead for mercy. It won't help. And I've worked on certain abilities and how I lay things out, and I've gotten better at it. But you know what? God gave me the abilities. I didn't, decide, well, let's see. Brain surgery, public speaking. No, it wasn't like that. It's things that God put on my heart and developed. You have gifts and callings that are within you, according to the grace that God has given you. We need to stop trying to put ourselves in holes that we don't fit in. We need to find out, parents, you need to find out what it is that your children are good at. Every one of you is going to disciple somebody. Yeah, you do it already. Why, you do that just like your mom. You talk just like your dad. A little bit by what you say, more by what you do, mostly by who you are. You're going to disciple people. Disciple them into something right. In the 70s, we had discipleship too. That was where I took you and made you look like me. We were in a congregation with five pastors. We were really five congregations under one roof. If you were in such and such congregation, you studied the Bible this way. If you were in another person's little mini congregation, you did things a certain way. That's not what discipleship is. Because if I disciple you to me, all I'm going to do is wind up with defective merchandise. Because in me, of my own self, there's no good thing. And the only thing that's good within me is Christ. What does Paul say? Some say you're of Apollos, some of Cephas, some of Paul. Who's Paul? Who's Apollos? Who's Cephas? Did they die for you? Follow me as you see Christ in me, or don't follow me at all. But don't follow my weaknesses and my shortcomings. But so you're all going to disciple your children. You're all going to disciple people at work and different relationships. And it's really important that you learn to recognize gifts and graces that are put inside of people's hearts so that you'll be able to help them to make the right decisions. And you don't try to make a preacher out of an evangelist. You don't try to make an evangelist out of someone who's prophetic, because you'll kill everybody out there. Get saved or go to hell. Thus the Lord says, you are useless. I say it too. You have to be who you are, and you got to take the gifts that God gives you, and you have to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. But we're talking about governmental people, so we'll pick this back up in verse 11. It was he who gave some as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, so that they could be the big shots, stand up on the pulpit, and you could send them money. Oh, no, that's not what it says. It says for equipping the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we'll no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So you got all these different people. Apostolic, I used to think that, you know, you got saved and then you became like really committed. And once you got committed, they made you a deacon. And after that, after a little while, not too long, hopefully you became an elder. Maybe then you became the head pastor, and then you were the apostle. And that's wrong. That's the way it works in the world. It's the corporate ladder. In the kingdom of God, it doesn't work that way, because Paul said something which I thought was a bizarre statement, but I found it to be true. The apostles are the least among men. What did he mean by that? They all got killed, for one thing, and mostly they had scummy lives. They got beat up. They were not appreciated. Let me tell you, leadership, genuine leadership, is for you. Godly leadership is for you. It's not for them. People that are burdened to lead, it's not a nice life most of the time. It's a lot of work. A lot of times, they have other lives, other lifestyles and jobs and things that they do. They're not all full-time ministers. That's a cultural anomaly, if you will, in this very short bubble of time we have in Western civilization. It has not always been thus. And a time's coming when it's not going to be this way again. It's hard to be in full-time ministry when they're trying to kill you. So you need to recognize that there are governmental people gifted, put in the kingdom of God, and they're put there for your help. And it'd be a really a shameful thing to waste what God has given you as a gift. And I'm sorry if you were abused in the 70s. Get over it. It's another century now. And it's time to find out what God wants to do with you and through you and with those who He has clearly anointed. And just don't waste it. It's not a game. Time goes by quick. You know, I was 1857. I'm 57 now. I don't know what happened. You know, the calendar goes faster and faster, right? It reminds me of like the toilet just before it goes down. It's just like the swirl. If you're not experiencing that, you're not over 25. The rest of you know what I'm talking about. It's the middle of May. Let's see. 2, 3, 4, 8, 10. We were about 12 weeks from the frost. It's going to frost in 12 weeks, maybe. I start thinking that way. It's quick. It's a quick ride, and then it's over. Don't waste it. Partake of everything that God has for you so that you can be discipled to look like Jesus. To look like Jesus. Okay, 2 Peter 1. The third thing about a disciple is a disciple is intentional. He's not accidental. 2 Peter 1:3-8. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. God has provided everything for you so that you can partake of the divine nature. You can be formed into the image of Christ. How are you doing? Are you doing good at that? Not so sure, huh? I don't know. I believe that if you wanted to become a marksman, you should first point the gun at the target. Right? And shoot it. If you shoot it in air and hope that it's just going to fall down and hit the target, it's probably not going to do that. Right? And if you shoot and you're not so good, you need to shoot more. You need to practice. You need to practice what you're doing. Disciples are intentional. They get up in the morning and they say, I'm going to be like this. Learn to ride a bicycle, you fall down and you say, well, that wasn't for me. I'm not gifted. And if you have a, you know the difference between moms and dads? You know, God's a dad. I know this is Mother's Day. It's supposed to be a Mother's Day message. It is a Mother's Day message. And mothers, aren't you happy that God's a dad? That there are dads? Because mom, if you fell off the bicycle, she'd probably tell you it was a bad bicycle and pat you up. And dad kicked your butt and said, get back out there. You're not coming in. We're not no supper for you. No soup for you unless you learn to ride the bicycle. Dad, I'm not really sure about this. Down the hill you go! Way! Good boy! God is a father. He lets you fall down. How, don't you know that yet? He'll comfort you. If you're a guy, he'll tell you chicks like scars. If you're a girl, he'll say it gives character. You look beautiful, honey. He wants you to grow. He wants you to develop and become what he has intended that you be. Disciples are intentional. They get up and they say, whoa, hey, according to Peter here, it says God has supplied everything I need in order to partake of the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world. How could I do that? And Peter continues on, and he says, for this very reason, apply all diligence. Didn't they tell you when you got saved that you were going to have to apply all diligence? They omitted that. They probably told you Jesus had been looking for you. He heard that you were lost someplace, and he's out there hunting you down. And now that he's found you, all the angels in heaven rejoiced. And that, of course, is true. And immediately he took you to the Father and he said, Father, what? Show this kid what he's got to do. Apply all diligence in your faith. Supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. It's a progression. In your knowledge, self-control. Can't do it. Yes, you can. In your self-control, perseverance. In your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. In your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so disciples are intentional. We live in a really great topographical area to determine this. You can walk in the woods and you can find a beaten path. And if it's a well-beaten path, your feet will fall into it naturally. And you could pretty well close your eyes and walk on that beaten path. Now, if it's a beaten path that goes in a good place, it'll lead you to that good place. But if it's a beaten path that leads you to a bad place, it will lead you to that bad place. Christianity is just like that. You develop paths of righteousness, or you develop paths of unrighteousness. If you have a problem with something in your life, you need to go back and find out where the path starts. Take your little shovel and start a new path. It's not really rocket science, guys. It's not that complicated. If you want to live a right life, then you have to learn to walk rightly. Christianity, mature Christianity, does not come by osmosis. If it did, Judah and I would be selling it on the internet. $19.95, we'll send you a bottle, but wait, don't order yet. We'll send you two if you order right now. Christ in a bottle. Good to grow. Hallelujah. New cherry flavor. You know it doesn't work like that. It's called a walk with the Lord. We have to begin to create paths of righteousness. If you have a problem, guys, with pornography, then tell your wife and let her put a block on it. Or you can wait until it ruins your life and your family. It's up to you. I'm not speaking righteously. I've been there. Just men. Ladies, if you're easily deceived in things, don't allow yourself to be sucked in. Communicate with your husband. Get connected with people. Develop paths of righteousness. I state your name, fill in the blank. I don't need to know what your sin is. There's paper and pen, and I'll write them. No, that's not my job. It's not your job either. It might be your job to help that other person out of their sin. It's not your job to note what their sin is, except as it pertains to potentially stumbling you. But we have to begin to develop paths of righteousness that bring us in a direction of holiness so that we can look like Jesus. Go back to Ephesians 4, please. You guys are doing great. You're right on schedule. Pick up in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walked in the futility of their mind. Paul is continuing, after talking about the governmental leaders here, he's now giving you some do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. Paths of righteousness, paths of unrighteousness. I don't care. You know, whatever it is we're talking about, if you want to be a football player, they're going to tell you how to eat. They're going to tell you how to exercise. You know, they're going to discipline. It's a disciplined life. Rights and wrongs, rights and wrongs. If you do these things, you're going to be like that. And you know what? You're all going to get discipled because it's in the nature of man. I remember somebody told me I was brainwashed because I was a Christian. I said, at least I know who's washing my brain. So who's washing your brain? Who's discipling you? What are you going to look like? Have you looked at the outcome of the person's life that you're following? We're supposed to be following Jesus. He's seated at the right hand of God. Become what you want to be. So don't follow the Gentiles anymore, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. You know, Paul says in Romans, the first chapter, that the whole creation testifies as to the glory of God. Therefore, men are without excuse. Do you know what the root for the word ignorance is? It's ignore. It's not lack of knowledge. It's ignore. So you can choose to ignore the truth, and you'll get the consequences of that. And I'll tell you what, they didn't think I'd talk about English when I graduated high school, or when they threw me out, actually. Get out. Go away. Don't come here anymore. They, having become calloused, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greed. They've given themselves to a path of unrighteousness. Don't give yourself to that path. But you didn't learn Christ in that way, if indeed you've heard him, verse 21, and been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus. Then in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness, holiness, and truth. And then we have some right things. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the devil an opportunity. Let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor performing what is with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Okay, we could continue on, but you can read that yourself. We do have a time issue. I heard this guy promised he'd be done at 12:30. Amen. So, disciples are intentional. 1 Peter 5. The fourth thing that you need to do if you want to be a disciple is you have to be humble. If you're a leader, you have to be humble. If you're just a lowly, by the way, there's nobody lowly in the kingdom, in case you didn't get that memo. There isn't. The widow threw in a half a penny. She gave more than everybody else. You know, have you read some of the people that God actually uses for leadership? I mean, look at me for one, but have you read? They're the refuse of the world as far as the world system's concerned, most of them. But God has chosen to use them because the glory is Him. We're just empty vessels. And there's cracks in us, so I guess that makes us just crackpots, right? Yeah. You're just a bunch of crackpots. But the glory's in you, and it shows through the little cracks. You know, chances are if somebody came to Christ because of you, it wasn't because you had your life together. It was more than likely because things were going hard for you, and they saw how you walked successfully in a time where they couldn't imagine that they could have succeeded. And they were amazed, and they knew it wasn't you. And that's how they came to the Lord. They saw the glory of God shining through your weaknesses. Humility, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 7. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I would charge you men that are here. Some of you are very gifted in the kingdom of God, and you're going to be used. You're going to be used to shepherd the flock in whatever way. Some of you are doing it right now, and I would charge you in humility to do what's right. In humility, recognizing that you don't have anything except God gave it to you. And He can take it away. And He gets the glory because He's made all these things for Himself. It's for Him, to please Him. And continuing on, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at proper time. Casting all your anxieties upon Him because He cares for you. I did not stop at verse 6 when we were done talking about humility because a lot of us don't want to be humble because we're afraid that, you know, like God's not going to back us up. Oh, if I humble myself, then, you know, who's going to take care of me? That was one of the incriminations against God. You know the book Hinds Feet on High Places, and poor little Much Afraid, she comes out of the village and she's trying to go to the shepherd. It's a good story if you haven't read it. And one of the demon voices comes to her and says, yeah, he's a great shepherd. Have you considered what happens to his people? Have you read the Hall of Fame, Hebrews 11? They got their stuff taken from them. They get their heads cut off. You know, on and on and on. And the devil would tell you that God won't take care of you. And I would tell you that God will take care of you if you will humble yourself. He may not take care of your stuff, because he doesn't really care about your stuff. And if you need the stuff, he'll take care of it. If your stuff gets taken away, you didn't need it. Because you can cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. He cares for you more than anybody else. Oh, yeah, he's the father that'll let you skin your knees. But you know what? When it comes down to it, he steps up and he says, "Those are my kids. Get out of here." He's your dad. You can trust him. That's what the devil always tries to do, is get you to not trust in God. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. And you can apply faith in God, or you can apply faith in other things. Now, when you apply faith in God, you get good results. But if you spend your money, spiritual money, on the wrong things, you get the wrong results. You can empower the devil by believing him. Give him some of your faith currency. But if you cast your cares on him, you can trust that he's worthy. And he'll defend you and take care of you. Philippians 2, we're going to finish there. Look at that. I may sing. I've got time left over. Who said no? Had to be Joe. What happened to the canaries in the bullfrog story, Joe? God made them both, right? I'm not even worthy of being a bullfrog, huh? I'm crushed. You can repent later, brother. I'll forgive you. I'm humble. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. You can only do that if you trust God. Otherwise, if you consider other people more important than yourself, you're going to get all the good stuff. And you're not going to get any of it. And that's what we think. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant. And being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, do you know Jesus didn't have to do this? He could have gone back and still been the Son of God. He chose to be a bond servant. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You can trust God. He's got a plan, and his plan is way better than yours. So being a convert, not a good idea. Being a disciple, a really good idea. Bad idea? Good idea. I say we choose the good idea. And my 4 points again are, you have to be a bond slave. You got to do it freely. God's not going to force you to go into the deep things of him. And whatever you think you're going to lose, remember that the bond slave turned around and he got to stay in Father's house, which is where all the good stuff is. And then secondly, God has put governmental people in place for you so that you can be helped along the way. Don't waste them. Thirdly, disciples are intentional. They don't get up in the morning and say, "Ah, da 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 da, should I follow Jesus today?" It's something they consider. It's something that they set their mind and their heart toward, and they go in that direction. They're intentional. They aim for the target. And fourthly, humble yourself. And I would add to humbling yourself that if you don't see humility in your leaders, find some other leaders. Well, first, lovingly rebuke them. Okay? But if there's not humility in the people that are leading you, you should find other leaders, because you'll get messed up otherwise. Everyone that would endeavor to lead God's people needs to have a humble heart. Everything that we have comes from Him. Amen? And I'm early. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your word. We pray that that we could be a gift to our mothers, that we would rise up and be men and women of God, that right living would please our moms, who only want good for us, and who wants good for us more than You. So help us, Lord, to become disciples of You and to press on to be formed into the image, following the calling for which we were called. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.